Good afternoon to those of you here, those of you who are listening in by the webcast today. Glad to be here with you on the Feast of Trumpets. I will launch right into the subject today. It's a very special high day, the Feast of Trumpets. As I do anymore, I give you the title of the sermon up front, Timeline to the Seventh Trumpet Sounding. Timeline to the Seventh Trumpet Sounding. We are on a countdown. And I think most of us now, we look at the world around us and we understand that. Interesting enough, I will quote a scripture from Ecclesiastes to begin the sermon today. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon writes, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven." And that's so true. God has a timetable. And that timetable, brethren, as we probably already well understand, is based on his timetable, not our own. From the time of creation in Genesis, God has established and set in motion the very essence of time itself. And his plan will prevail. Man's plan, man's way, ultimately, will not prevail. God's plan ultimately will prevail in all things. We come here today to celebrate the Feast of Trumpets. I want you to turn, as a reminder, to Leviticus chapter 23. And I say Leviticus chapter 23, most of us by now should well know this is where the holy days are given. Leviticus 23, give you a moment to get there. Starting in verse 23. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." So we see it is a holy convocation that we are here today to observe, a commanded appointment with God, as I love to say. This Feast of Trumpets is a high day that is shrouded in a lot of mystery. And frankly, the meaning of this day, the Feast of Trumpets, and the, you might say, the secrets behind it are yet to be unlocked in the future. I've often said over my lifetime that of all the holy days, this holy day probably has more mystery surrounded to it. And yet when you understand the flow of events that will happen, it really does not hold that much mystery for those that God enlightens their mind. So I want to talk about these things today on this Feast of Trumpets. Last year, I gave the message, and I gave it, "Here I come, ready or not." Those of you who were here last year remember that I gave that message, and I gave it in a kind of a spiritual vein of us being prepared spiritually. What I want to do today is spiritually diagram, you might say, a timeline, because we are truly in a countdown, a timeline, right now, down to the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And we know that when that seventh trumpet sounds, we, the saints of God, are going to be changed. And so that is something that we all know are looking forward to. The timing of these things belongs in God's hands. How many funerals and memorials and things that I've done over the years, I've gone back to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 54. And I won't go there today because chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is called the resurrection chapter. And how many times I've gone back there, especially with the saints of God, and read those verses in chapter 15 about when that seventh trumpet sounds and the saints will be raised to immortality. So I won't go there today, but just reference to it. But by the time the seventh trumpet will sound one day, and this is what we need to comprehend today, much will have happened. Much will have happened by the time that seventh trumpet sounds. And those who will live to be standing on their feet one day, to be changed in the blink of an eye, those who will rise to meet Christ in the air, who are standing on their feet, will have seen much with their eyes. And there are a lot of things that's going to start to happen before that seventh trumpet one day will sound. There are so many now around this nation and world that are trying to figure out biblical prophecy. And I've often loved to use the term, I think the majority of them, if prophecy, as I love to say, was nitroglycerin, they'd blow themselves up. Because many are trying to figure prophecy out, and they're trying to figure God's timetable out. And I say, there's no way at this point that we can know exactly the timing that God has in his plan. Notice I said the timing. Doesn't mean we don't understand much about prophecy, but we don't understand the exact timing of when he will allow these things to begin to happen. And fact is, there are things already happening that's leading down. Because when you understand the Feast of Trumpets and its picture, it's a picture of judgment. It is a picture of judgment, especially judgments that are coming. And that's what this day pictures. And you say, the scripture says, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, plural. And most of us in this room today listening, those listening now by webcast, those who will hear it on the webcast later, you know that there's only one place in the Bible that it speaks very definitively of a series of trumpet blasts. And I will go there later. So there is a countdown. And you might say, I'm just going to start with this countdown that one day is coming. And that countdown that's coming one day will start with 1,290 days, 3.5 years. I want you to go to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, if you are a student of the Bible, you know that you cannot completely understand Revelation without the book of Daniel. And to understand the book of Daniel, you have to go to the book of Revelation to finish the story. Because Daniel and Revelation and their storylines link totally together. Some of the things I will cover today are not pleasant. But this day, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures a time coming. It's not going to be pleasant, to say the least. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, we read about that fourth beast that we know to be the prophesied beast power that will show up. And we start in verse 23. Daniel in his vision saw this. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. It will be all powerful. Verse 24. The ten horns are ten kings who shall arise from this kingdom. And another shall arise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue three kings. And you notice verse 25, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. And this is a very specific reference to the great false prophet at that time, and the beast power himself. And shall intend, notice this, to change times and law. And then we read, then the saints shall be given into his hand, that is the beast power, for a time and times and half a times. A 3.5 year period of time that the saints of God will be given into the hands of the beast power. And that's also not speaking as well of the sons of Jacob. You're there in Daniel. Turn to chapter 12 there in Daniel. Chapter 12, verse 11. Because I'm weaving a timeline. And the countdown really starts with that 3.5 years when the beast power takes over in Jerusalem. And then you have a countdown that's noted here in Daniel 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. That is a direct reference to the beast power when it was set up in Jerusalem. And when it speaks of that daily sacrifice being taken away, removed, that goes back to those who believe that a temple will be built, and whether or not a temple is built in Jerusalem or not, that there will be sacrifices reinstituted around the Temple Mount, and that those sacrifices will be stopped at a certain point by the beast's power when they set up for 3.5 years. We're not there yet. You know that little saying, are we there yet? Pick on Natalie again sitting back there. She always sat behind me everywhere we went when she grew up. And she was always behind me. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? She didn't like to travel. We're not there yet. But how much closer are we to the prophetic things of this day, the Feast of Trumpets, one day being fulfilled? Because what this day pictured and pictures is about the future. And it pertains to judgments, not just judgment, but judgments of God. And I want to continue to talk about it. So we start this 3.5 year countdown. Once that beast power sets up in Jerusalem, and I don't see it yet. It's not there yet. But once it sets up, there is a countdown of 3.5 years, 1290 days. And thus begins a countdown, literal countdown, to something that God is going to ultimately finalize with the return of Jesus Christ. I want you to go to Luke chapter 21. Luke 21, some of these things I'm going back through, and as reminders, I've given some sermons in recent times. They're posted, and I've gone through some of these things, but I want to go back and just remind and touch base with this. In Luke 21, it is Luke's account of the Olivet Prophecy. Luke writes here in chapter 21 of Luke, he writes his version, so to speak, of the Olivet Prophecy. And if you'll drop down to verse 20, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. We're told here, the church today, and brethren, when Christ gave the Olivet Prophecy, be it known and understood that he was very much given the prophecy for that generation that would be alive to see these things happen. And that is no doubt us. As you look at this room, and I see the very young in this room, if it goes beyond the lifetimes of these very young in this room, I certainly don't want to be around, because it's bad already. So he says, when you see this, and that is that beast power again that Daniel spoke of, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. It's going to be desperate times, urgent times. For these, verse 22, are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. And you say, vengeance? Whose vengeance? God's vengeance. And you go on reading here. Verse 23, woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And I have covered that in past sermons recently, pointing out what people? The sons of Jacob. Because what is now beginning to happen? The great tribulation is starting. And the sons of Jacob, as I've covered in those recent sermons, now are being conquered. And you see this devastation happening to the modern sons of Jacob as they will fall to this beast power. In verse 24, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, which is 3.5 years total. A 3.5 year total. We don't see the beast power yet, but once it sets up, once it's there and sets up, you've got a simple countdown of 3.5 years. And those who will be alive, and those of us now who might be alive at that time, you will not be deceived if you are there again, spiritually diagramming it by God's plan and by his mind and his prophetic word. So we see clearly this countdown starts. A lot of people kind of get confused with these years and times and dates. The first 2.5 years of the 3.5 years is the Great Tribulation. The first 2.5 years of the 3.5 years, the 1290 days, is the time of Great Tribulation, a time of great distress where the saints of God and the sons of Jacob are allowed to be delivered into the hands of the beast power for great persecution and martyrdom. And that's very clear, and I hope we understand that, because I'm taking this message down to the seventh trumpet. And when that seventh trumpet will sound, and there will be a definite countdown, once we see that power that sets up in Jerusalem, and there are factors now, if you are in that sense watching what's happening in this world, we are seeing the realignment of nations. We are seeing nations around this world begin to form new pacts with one another. And we are seeing, brethren, we are seeing the time of what's called the times of the Gentiles rise. And these nations like China and Russia and Iran and are coming more and more to the forefront. That is prophesied. And Luke's prophecy, where Christ gave that prophecy in Luke's account, makes these things very clear that they are to be at the end of the age. And we definitely are much closer to the very end of the age than when Luke wrote the account that he did maybe 2,000 years ago. We know that the book of Revelation chronicles the finishing of these major prophecies. And again, the vast majority of all the major prophecies are yet to be fulfilled. Many of these major prophecies are still sealed prophecies. And most of the major prophecies will be unsealed during that 3.5 year period of time. And so when we start to put it together from that simple framework of just simply, as I love to say, spiritually diagramming it, I mean, I could put it up here on a chalkboard, so to speak, or a PowerPoint, and show how that in 3.5 years, everything that finishes the prophecies that God has told us about in his word will start and end. It will all start and end in 3.5 year period of time. Go to Revelation now. Go to Revelation, because Revelation chronicles these things as they begin to happen. Revelation chapter 6. You find in chapter 6 of Revelation, you have six seals that are given. Again, the Apostle John, just like Baruch with Jeremiah, when Jeremiah would say to Baruch, write it down, Baruch, because he was his trusted aide and scribe. John the Apostle was simply the scribe of Jesus Christ, and when Christ told John, write it down, because Revelation is the vision of Jesus Christ given to John to simply write down. And we see in chapter 6 of Revelation, six seals that are mentioned. And we'll not go through all these seals. You can read them all yourself. Maybe, probably, hopefully, you already have. But it's very clear when you go through these six seals of Revelation chapter 6, they are pretty much self-explanatory. But there's one I want to point out specifically, maybe, and that's the fourth seal in verse 7. The fourth seal. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. And I behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades, or the grave, followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. You see four judgments given under the fourth seal, and a fourth of humanity, in essence, will die. This is under the fourth seal. Hold your place in Revelation and go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Go to Ezekiel 14, keeping your place there in Revelation 6. Because we see Ezekiel the prophet of long ago, under God's inspiration, writing about the same thing that Christ revealed to John in Revelation. Chapter 14 of Ezekiel. Start in verse 12. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, son of man, when a land, a nation, sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. And though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through because of the beast, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered, and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on the land, and that's warfare, brethren, the sword represents warfare, and say, sword, go through the land, and I cut off man and beast from it, even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only they themselves would be delivered. God is talking about when he sends these judgments. And it's God who sends the judgments. You read in different parts of God's word, scripture, where God says, it is I that strike the blow. It is I that will strike the blow. It is God who administers judgment and justice. Verse 19. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast. And again he says, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. And then we come to that verse 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more it shall be when I send my. Notice that. When I send my four severe judgments on where? Jerusalem. And he says, the sword, the famine, wild beasts, and pestilence to cut off man and beast from it. And he says, yet behold, there shall be left in it a remnant who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, and you will see their ways and their doings. Then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem, indeed all that I have brought upon it. And you see in verse 23 that I have done it. Let there be no doubt, these are God's judgments. Brethren, you see here in the words of Ezekiel the prophet, the same four judgments here sent on Jerusalem that the fourth seal speaks of in Revelation. The same four severe judgments. And if they hit Jerusalem, and God sends them eventually on Jerusalem, as we already have seen when the beast power sets up, you can just jot down Hosea chapter 5, verse 5. Hosea chapter 5, verse 5. And you will read where Judah, which represents Jerusalem, and Manasseh and Ephraim and Israel fall together. So when he sends four severe judgments spoken of there in Ezekiel and under the fourth seal of Revelation, when he sends those kind of severe judgments upon Jerusalem, they will fall on all of modern day Israel. That's when you have the beginning of the 3.5 year period of time when the sons of Jacob will be conquered, and you have God sending these four severe judgments on a modern people, modern Israel, who have turned away from him, have rebelled against him. And chief among the sons of Israel modern, as I've brought out in recent sermons, is England and the United States of America. So we see it all begins with that 3.5 years when God sends this judgments upon a people. As Luke 21 says, vengeance upon this people. This people, the modern day sons of Jacob. Repeating Daniel 7:25 that we just read. When the saints of God and the sons of Jacob will be given into the hands of the beast power. And for the first 2.5 years of that 3.5 year period of time, it will be called the Great Tribulation. And while you're there in Revelation 6, like I said, I told you stay there. Then you come to verse 9 of Revelation 6. The timeline, the chronological flow of things is very clear. Chapter 9 of Revelation 6, then he opens the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony whence they hail. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you what? until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth, especially as the beast's power has begun to reign and has begun to subjugate the saints of God and the sons of Israel and begins to persecute and martyr. There will be extreme martyrdom that will happen. All of this is futuristic, and all of this is pictured by what this day truly, in its ultimate meaning, is picturing for the future. This Feast of Trumpets cannot be pictured as one day, because the things that are going to happen is a time frame. And the Feast of Trumpets represents a time frame, not just a specific day. And that is something we need to understand from God's Word. And many things are going to have happened, like I said, before the seventh trumpet even sounds. And when the seventh trumpet does sound, those of us who have been counted worthy, our troubles are over. And that's what we all look forward to, is when we are changed to immortality one day. We see here, he goes on to say in verse 11, and a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And in one sense, this prophecy takes it all the way back to the martyrdom of the early saints of the early church as well. Because ultimately all the saints that have been martyred through the time and ages, right on down through that time frame, they all, in that sense speaking, cry out for justice. It wasn't in my notes, but I want to say something to all of you. I have become very convinced in my lifetime. I'm going to use it simply in a very plain way to say it, plain, straight, and simple. You don't mess with the saints of God. I'm going to repeat it. You don't mess with the saints of God. Because ultimately, God is going to punish severely those who harm his children. I'll go on and talk about a few things that go along here. And when all this time is happening, the only ones who will be protected for that first 2.5 years will be those who are in her place of safety, as Revelation 12 speaks of. And again, I gave that sermon year and a half ago, whatever, it's up on the website, the place of safety. There will be a place of safety for some that God deems worthy, as he says, to escape these coming calamities. And again, that's why last year on the Feast of Trumpets, I chose to give the sermon, Ready or Not, Here I Come. And I gave the sermon, Are We Ready Spiritually? And today I'm going through a timeline, though, of his judgments that are going to be poured out. And they're going to increase with intensity and more intensity. And I will cover that a little bit before I close the message today. You're there in chapter 6. When are the real blood moons coming? When are the real heavenly signs coming? We're on a timeline now. We've now come to almost the end, or near the end, of the first 2.5 years of that 3.5 year period of time of the beast's power reign. And we're right there near the very end of the first 2.5 years. And the saints of God, the modern sons of Jacob, have been given into the beast power's hands to wreak havoc with, as Daniel says, to wear the saints out. And then we come to the sixth seal, and God is about to do something. And he's about to do something much greater even. So you come to the sixth seal there in Revelation 6, verse 12. Look, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. We're seeing cataclysmic things happening under the sixth seal, and I mean cosmic disturbances that as we read on, verse 15, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich man, and the commanders, all who have power, all those who think they have power, all these great men in their eyes of the earth, the mighty men, and every slave and every free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day, notice that, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is the sixth seal, and you're at the end of that basically 2.5 year period of time. The great tribulation is coming to that type of a close where the beast power has for 2.5 years made havoc and destruction of the saints and the modern day sons of Jacob. And now God's getting ready with the sixth seal to do something very dramatic. Remember, trumpets, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And we say, what does that mean? Well, I want to continue to talk about it. It is evident as I've looked at these verses, it's obvious that God lets the earth's inhabitants see something that they recognize that's from God above, because they're trying to hide their face, it says, from the wrath of the God above. And it's going to be a very dramatic time and moment to where they're going to realize that they're not alone in the universe after all. They're going to find out that there is a God in heaven, and he's going to do something about what these verses tell us that's going to demonstrate to all the inhabitants of the earth at that time that I am God, I exist, and I am sovereign, and I'm all powerful. And they're going to try to hide from the very face of what they see. And that, to my mind, is very clear. And that's the sixth seal. And again, the timeline, countdown. We're now basically 1 year. 1 year to the end of the 3.5 year period of time that Daniel spoke of, the 1290 days. You're there in Revelation, chapter 8. Now something dramatic is about to happen. Not that the sixth seal wasn't as well very dramatic, but you might say it just gets more intensified every step of the way, because now we have come to a time that's called the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord, brethren, from all scriptures, all these different places we read about, the day of the Lord is that last 1 year period of time that ends the 3.5 year period of time. And now, in what's called the day of the Lord, God is now going to turn his vengeance and pour out severe judgments on the punishers. Those that he has allowed to punish the sons of Jacob in the great tribulation, those who have martyred the saints, he is now going to turn his vengeance and fury and judgments against the Gentile powers for that last year that's called the day of the Lord. Chapter 8, Revelation, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. You're seeing now a series of trumpet blasts that's going to happen. Verse 3, then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So we're seeing here where our prayers go. We're told in this verse here in chapter 8, we're told specifically where our prayers go. Yes, why do our prayers go there? Because that's where the mercy seat is. That's where the high priest is. And that's where the mercy seat is. That's where mercy is obtained, is there at the throne with the Lamb of God sitting beside the Father. And were it not for the Lamb of God, there would be no mercy seat. There would be no mercy. There would be no life after. Christ is everything. And by the way, atonement's coming up soon. And how much more over my lifetime the Day of Atonement has come to mean to me. Because it's a whole lot more than just about fasting on the Day of Atonement and binding Satan. And I, God willing, will be able to speak about that down in the Phoenix Springs on atonement. Well, we see here where your prayers go. In verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it into the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now you can go through these verses of the seven, these trumpets being sounded yourself later, because they actually go through. You read about it in chapters 8 and 9. I mean, I could do several Bible studies on these two chapters alone. But you can go through and see, I know verse 7, first trumpet, vegetation struck. Second trumpet that sounds, the seas are struck. Third trumpet, the waters are struck. Fourth trumpet, the heavens are struck. You come to the fifth trumpet blast, and by the way, the fifth trumpet blast is also called the first woe. And those of you who are students of the Bible and prophecy know exactly what I'm saying. The fifth trumpet blast is what's called the first woe. And you have its sounds. And you see all these beings coming out of that bottomless pit that they torment all humanity that does not have the seal of God. And they're tormented for 5 months and they wish to die, but they cannot die. And that's the fifth trumpet blast. And then you come to the sixth trumpet blast there in verse 13 down through verses 21. And you read about that 200 million army. And so you see these six trumpet blasts all in succession. You know, Rhonda and I were having a sensible conversation in the kitchen this morning. She was finally able to have a sensible conversation with me this morning. I'm making sure I'm keeping my wife awake back there. And even she made the comment, she said, you know, even the plagues of Egypt were systematic, successive, and each time God gave room for repentance. These trumpet blast plagues that God pours out, God is allowing and giving between each one time for people to repent, but they don't repent. Now keep in mind, these six trumpet blasts are being poured out on unrepentant flesh. All unrepentant flesh on the earth at that time. Because you could go back to the sixth seal and see where God has sealed all those who are His. And so they are not apparently being affected by these six trumpet blasts. They're being poured out upon unrepentant flesh and primarily the Gentile powers who have butchered and massacred the saints and the sons of Jacob. Because when it's all done, all those saints that are going to be called during the great tribulation, brethren, there will be many called during the great tribulation, and most will be martyred. And the sons of Jacob are going to be so decimated by the time Christ sets his feet on the Mount of Olives, there will only be a remnant. Just a small seed supply, so to speak, that will start the physical millennium. Because by the time all these things are over, it's going to have been such devastation on this earth. Devastation that we don't like to think about. And yet, brethren, I say today, this day, this Feast of Trumpets, is so prophetic in its message to us. And it's futuristic. At a time when God is, in a period of time, going to pour out cataclysmic judgments on all flesh again that will not repent. I want you to turn back to Zephaniah, that little minor prophet we call him. Zephaniah, chapter 1. Because once the trumpet blast there of Revelation 8 are, once they start, once that first trumpet blast of Revelation 8 starts, it is a year. It is a year period of time called the day of the Lord that they will last, including the seven last plagues that I will get to here momentarily. But you're hearing Zephaniah. This describes the day of the Lord. And it's very clear what it's talking about. in verse 14 of Zephaniah chapter 1. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpets. Notice that, of trumpets and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress. Who is I? God. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse as God pours his wrath out in judgment. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Speedy riddance of all those who will not repent, all the unrepentant, all those who refuse to obey him and repent. Because when the sixth seal is closed and the seventh seal is open with that first trumpet blast, again, it's very clear from Revelation that the seal are protected. And again, either through death or preserved that they don't have these things happen to them. Again, these seven trumpet blasts are falling, six trumpet blasts are falling upon the unrepentant, and especially the Gentile powers. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah, verse 1, gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued. In other words, prepare before this happens, before the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord. And that's us today. And this is what I spoke about last year on the Feast of Trumpets. When I had the message and I gave as it pertains to us individually and collectively as the body of Christ, that we now need to be preparing our lives, because as I gave in that message, ready or not, I'm coming. And we better be ready when he comes. And he goes on, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. So see, we see over and over it speaks of God's anger, and it is God who strikes the blow. Go to Joel, the prophet Joel. Back just a little bit to the prophet Joel. Remember, it was the prophet Joel that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost, because Peter and the people of that day, no doubt, early on, thought that Christ would come back much sooner. But there in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, the prophet Joel, the prophet Zephaniah, they're totally compatible. They're totally in sync with the same message, because it's God's message. God's message has always been given to every prophet, and it's always the same message. And no matter if there's 1,000 prophets, they all speak the same message because it's God's word. And you see in Joel 2:1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. You might say the earth tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and dark, thick darkness, and like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. And he says, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be or any such after them, even for many successive generations. That is a direct prophetic prophecy of the beast's power when it shows up. Because Daniel 12:1 again tells us, and Daniel chapter 12:1 says, there will never be a time like it when this time happens. There will never have been a time like it, nor shall ever be a time like it ever again. Because again, it's a countdown, and I know we are watching this. There will be a power that sets up in Jerusalem, and it will trample Jerusalem underfoot for 3.5 years, and it will have as its voice the great false prophet, and he will be the voice, and he will influence the beast, that is the civil ruler, and it will be his influence, a religious entity that sets up, and we're now on that countdown. And that first 2.5 years of that 3.5 years, the saints will be delivered into his hand, and the sons of Jacob. And then we come to that last year of the 3.5 year period of time called the day of the Lord. And now God is pouring out catastrophic judgments on those who have punished his people. To my mind, that is very clear. We're not there yet, but how much closer are we drawing near to those times? These prophecies, and over the years, many of you have heard me say, I tend to wear mostly all black on the Feast of Trumpets. I noticed today a lot of you have black on. Because this day pictures a time frame. It pictures a time coming when these things will happen and they will play out, and they will play out by God's timetable. And God will begin to pour out catastrophic judgments. Again, I stress it, on the unrepentant. That's why those who have been sealed, those who have repented, they will not experience these things happening. There's a symbolism when you study the plagues of Egypt, and you study the plagues of Egypt and know how they were poured out. Its symbolism is not coincidental that the seven last plagues of Egypt did not affect Israel. The first three plagues in Goshen, where they were, affected them. The last seven plagues of Egypt did not affect Israel. God protected them. The seven trumpet blasts, the seven last plagues, do not affect the repentant, the saints. God protects them. But for 2.5 years of that first 3.5 year period of time, God allows the saints to be in the hands of the beast's power and to be martyred. And the sons of Jacob, the modern nations we know to be Israel today, national powers, as I brought down those recent sermons, to be decimated, shattered. Then we come, do we not? We come to that seventh trumpet sounding. You're there in Revelation, I hope. If you're not, go back there with me. Revelation chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Revelation, as you're turning there. I won't start in verse 1 of chapter 11, and the witnesses are introduced, and we read all those verses about the two witnesses who will do a work for 1,260 days. Their work will be basically close to 3.5 years, because it says they do a work for 1,260 days. But I want to drop down to verse 15. And then you have that seventh trumpet sounds. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And as one minister said a long time ago, and I never forgot it, this should read more, "The kingdoms are becoming," because when the seventh trumpet sounds, there is yet more to happen. And we go on reading here. Verse 17. The seventh trumpet has sounded. Verse 17. "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." We see very clearly two things happen. The saints are raised at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. And we don't know the entirety of when it says the rewards are given to them. But we also see the time also of God's wrath has not yet been requited. God's wrath is not yet over. So we can't just end the story there with his wrath is over. Look at verse 19. "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings and noises and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." That reminds you of chapter 8 beginning, where he's about to unleash these trumpet blast plagues. And now you read the same verse and it sounds the same setup sounds the same because he's about to do something now, the most dramatic of all. And that's what I want to take us to. Go to chapter 16 of Revelation. You have now something else. God's wrath is not yet final. Chapter 16 of Revelation, verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels. So you here have these seven angels. Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Well, I thought it was over at the seventh trumpet. No, you have the greatest wrath of all about to follow through seven last plagues. Some call them bowl judgments. And these angels are instructed. You read verse 2, first bowl, malignant sores. Second bowl, plague. The sea turns to blood. The whole sea turns to, the whole oceans turn to blood. Third bowl, last plague. All fresh waters turn to blood. Now, these seven last judgments, seven last plagues, become all totally the worst that God has ever poured out. And then you find the fourth one. Men are scorched from intense heat. You know, every time I read this in the seven last plagues, men are scorched from the great heat. You people out there who think we've got global warming right now, God's going to show you global warming one day. And there again, the unrepentant. Because then we read here in verse 9, it says, verse 9, and men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, and who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. And you and I would say, how could you blaspheme God who is pouring these things out on you, and yet you will not repent? These things are being poured out upon the hard-hearted unrepentant. And then you have the fifth bow, darkness and pain. All these things, for the sake of time, you can go back and read later. And then you find in verse 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they still did not repent of their deeds. We have come to the point, brethren, these last seven plagues that are poured out, where God is dealing with the remnant of humanity left that are not sealed again, the unrepentant, that have such hardened hearts that they will not repent. It is hard, and I've come in my 70 years to acknowledge and understand far more than I did when I was younger. There are hearts that are so hardened that God cannot redeem. And that is something kind of foreign to our thinking. We don't like to think about that, maybe, but there are hearts that God will not be able to soften. There is a lake of fire that will be there, and there will be those who will perish in the lake of fire. And these are the type, these who will not repent, even though God is pouring out catastrophic destruction on them, and they still will not only not acknowledge God, they will not repent and obey. That is hardened hearts. Then you could read verse 12. My subheading says, the sixth bow, the Euphrates is dried up. And you read about that army. The Euphrates River dries up and that army is moving in place to confront Christ. And that's what you see. You see that down in verse 16. And they gathered from them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Answers itself as they get ready to battle Jesus Christ and the saints who will be with him. And then, verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple and of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. It is finished. God's wrath has now been poured out. God's anger has now been quenched. And by the time it's over, and there is so much more in the book of Revelation than what happens ultimately to the beast power, the false prophet, the beast, and you read there in chapter 20, without going there, that they're cast into the lake of fire. You read that. It's right there in Revelation chapter 20. I won't even go there. So they're cast into the lake of fire. And so you have come now to the very end of a 3.5 year period of time from when the beast power had set up in Jerusalem and the countdown started. And 3.5 years later, not 1290 days, as Daniel 12:11 says, and you have, God has ended the reign of this most cruel and harsh entity that will have ever set up on this earth. We've had some wicked empires and rulers in the history of this world, and yet the beast's power will be the most cruel, the greatest destructive force, and thankfully it will only last 3.5 years. Seventh trumpet sounds. That's what we're all waiting to hear, right? Whether in the grave or standing on your feet. I want you to go back now to 1 Thessalonians 4. Always close with hope. Always put the punctuation of hope with all of us. 1 Thessalonians 4. And again, many times as I've done memorials and funerals for the saints of God, always go here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. We comfort one another today and always with the hope of the resurrection. There is no greater hope for all of us in this human realm to know that we shall one day be raised eternal. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and we are going to be living, can I say it, the old cliche, we're going to be living on easy street for the rest of our lives through eternity. Everything is going to be so different as one of God's children than what we experience now in the flesh. I would say in closing today, I've given this message because I wanted to kind of do this timeline countdown to the sounding of the seventh trumpet. The scriptures are pretty clear of what happens. I just went through some of them today. People may ask, well, when I'm resurrected and meet Christ in the air, what then? Let me leave you with this, and based on some of the things I've shared today from his very word, once you are raised to meet Jesus Christ, it really don't matter when or what or where, how, when the rest of it will happen. You're going to be with Christ wherever he is. And so that's all you have to concern yourself with, is make sure that you hear the seventh trumpet, and you shall forevermore be with Christ as his bride by his side wherever he goes.